and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
It's sunshine time.
It's boiling, isn't it?
It is boiling, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm keeping all the windows closed. I'm not letting the heat in. It's just not happening. I don't like it.
It's weird, isn't it? Because a week ago, I was freezing cold still, and this week it's boiling hot.
Been a funny old month.
It's very British of us to start a podcast talking about the weather.
Isn't it?
And to moan about it. We're not happy about it, whichever way. It's either too cold or too hot. It's doing my head in. And also, the flies are coming in now.
Yes, I know. Tell me about it.
And I've got moths again. Bigger moths than last year.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like these. I caught one earlier in my hand as it flew by.
Oh, Mr. Miyagi.
And I thought, oh, I've got it in my hand. I've crushed it. Opened my hand, it fucking flew out. It just rested in my hand without me crushing it. Normally when you touch a moth, they fall apart. They're so fucking flimsy. But this one must be some sort of super moth.
Usually when people are quite gentle of soul, you'd say, oh, they wouldn't kill a moth. Turns out you couldn't kill a moth.
Well, maybe deep down I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I went, clenched my fist, caught it, and then there was something in me just going, let it go, Trev. Let it go. There was some sort of inner Buddhist coming through.
Yeah. Although you sound a bit pissed off that it didn't die.
Well, I have this weird thing when it comes to killing things that I do have a guilt about. I had this thought this week. I wonder in a lifetime how many deaths I'm responsible for in the animal kingdom. Because it must be, in every human being's life, you must be responsible for the death of thousands of insects and bugs and creepy crawlers. Some of them you don't know, you're just walking in the grass, you're treading on them. When you mow the grass, you're probably butchering several little bugs and insects. And then the ones that you're deliberately killing, and I had this real guilt about it, but I don't really want the moths in the house. And I've got that torn feeling about, I don't really want to kill them, but they're a pain to catch and release.
Something else that troubles me as well in a similar vein is that I'm hoping, well, as an atheist, I don't believe heaven exists. But I'm hoping that when you get there, they don't judge you like entirely. Like, for example, how many people have I killed in my lifetime? None.
Yeah.
But does the amount of people I've killed in video games speak towards my character and whether or not I should be allowed into heaven on that basis? Because on that basis, I've committed multiple genocides.
Yeah, I don't know whether video games counts when you get up there. I wonder if when you get to the pearly gates, there's sort of a line for gamers. They're dealt with separately. There's sort of an inner psychological issue that you need to deal with that they then decide whether you're suitable to enter the kingdom of heaven or not, because they look at you and they go, well, let's have a look at all traits of your personality. So yes, you like to kill in video games. Ben Harmer, how many people in video games in your life, would just a rough estimate, would you say that you have slaughtered in cold blood?
I would say with confidence, probably 500,000 would be an underestimate.
So 500,000. Okay, 500,000. I'll just write that down. 500,000. Now let's discuss other aspects of your earthly persona, Mr. Harmer. So let's look at the animal kingdom and let's look at animals that you have knowingly killed. I see from your record, certainly spiders. There's a lot of death involving spiders in your life, Mr. Harmer. Can you please explain your motive for the killing of the spiders?
Fear, usually. Fear. Self-preservation.
Self-preservation. It's a spider.
It could be deadly for all I know.
Well, they're not. They've been... You've lived in the United Kingdom where there are no deadly spiders, and you would surely know that, Mr. Harmer. I feel that your reasoning is questionable, to say the least. So, at the moment, your entry into the Kingdom of Heaven is under the maybe column. Let's have a look at other... What about flies and moths? Do you capture and release? What's your thinking there?
I do try sometimes to sort of, like a bouncer, like usher flies back out the door.
Yeah.
But ultimately that usually ends in failure. So I then get the can of Raid out and just go to town.
Right. Raid. I just write that down.
Other fly killing substances are available.
Psychopath. Just making notes here. Okay, well, it does seem that you are responsible for a lot of deaths, but let's have a look at other aspects of your personality. When you're out and about and you're interacting with other human beings, how often in your mind, when you're talking to another human, are you actually thinking of killing them?
Probably more often than I'd right. like to admit.
Well, you get some points for honesty. I'll give you that.
You got to go. By the way, I'm going to interrupt here because I'm sounding quite bad in this interchange. But I am going to say that I reckon, you know, without acting on it, we all know if we were to go mental one day, say in our place of work, for example, we know who'd be first, don't we?
Do we?
You've got that one person who you think who we just start with. You know who it is.
Although, wouldn't you want to? Maybe this says more about me. Wouldn't you want to sort of really put them through it first? Rather than put them out of their misery quickly, tie them up, put them through some sort of psychological torture beforehand. I don't know if this is the sort of thing we should be talking about.
This has got dark very quickly.
My inner violent self. A minute ago, I'm talking about not wanting to kill moths, but torturing a staff member, a senior manager, most probably. Fine.
I don't feel that you're equipped to sit on the moral high horse to judge who gets in and out of heaven. I think you should be at the back of the line.
Well, it wasn't me. I was playing the role of one of Heaven's administrators.
I tell you what, though, I've had a bad week this week, and I did show
compassion,
yes, and did self-control in a time of hardship. I've been attacked.
You've been attacked?
Yes.
By a human?
Sadly, no, it was not by a human. I was I suppose the grim rite of passage for a postman. I've been mauled by a ferocious dog.
Now, you use the word mauled.
Yes.
If you'd been mauled, I'm not sure we'd be recording this podcast right now. What I'm imagining is a dog jump up at you a little bit. tell me what happened. Talk me through the attack in every gory bit of detail, please.
This ferocious beast, I've been confronted by him before, and normally he just barks at me. But
how big is this ferocious beast? What breed of dog are we talking here?
We'll get on to that.
No, it's tiny, and it's a tiny little like Shih Tzu or something, isn't it?
And normally it just barks and nothing more. And the problem is I can't get to the front door of this place without letting myself through the front gate, and that's its sort of domain.
Right, so
and,
the door is just running free in the sort of front yard.
And it's a weird setup. It means I also can't deliver the neighbour's post unless I get through this gate where this dog is running free. Like I say, normally me and this dog have a bit of a understanding.
Yeah.
You bark at me and I just carry on and do my thing and then off you go.
Okay.
So I come through and the dog's barking.
Yeah.
And the owner comes out and he says, oh, don't worry. He's just a lot of noise. He won't bite you.
His bark's worse than his bite.
Not true, as it turns out. The dog ran at me and sunk his teeth into my leg.
Ooh.
Drew blood.
No way.
Yeah. I had blood coming out of my knee.
No. So wait, were you wearing shorts or trousers? Have you gone through fabric of trouser?
Well, as we established at the beginning of this podcast, the weather has now shifted. We had a bit of a dodgy start to May,
right?
But it was sunny enough for me to be wearing my traditional shorts. In fact, I do wear shorts all year round, regardless of the weather.
Like some terrible 1940s schoolboy.
And as I say, blood was drawn, and I had to go to the neighbour who saw my injuries and offered me an antiseptic wipe and some cream to rub on it and plasters and things like that, which I was very grateful for. And I'm traumatised.
Right. I'm not saying that this wasn't a traumatic experience, but when the end result is an antiseptic wipe and not a visit to hospital, not having to have your legs sewn back on.
I did phone my mum.
You phoned your mum. So and you cried down the phone.
No, she was a nurse, and I was just inquiring whether or not she felt I needed to get a tetanus shot.
Okay.
The answer was no.
No.
The recommendation was check with 111, the medical phone number.
Yeah,
I rang them and they said, unless it's serious, then don't bother us.
Fuck off. We're really busy. Website. Just a little fucking graze from a dog's tooth we're not interested in.
I'd like you to think I was heroically, you know, staving off the attack of a bull mastiff.
Did you stick your finger up the dog's arse? Because that's a way to get it to release. Did it stay locked on to your flesh, or did it sort of have a little bite and then think, nah, that meat is not flavoursome enough for me to want to gnaw on it any longer?
It wasn't a sustained attack. No, it was a very much smash and grab, you know, very quick bite, and then it retreated, and then it looked like it was you know, thinking about charging at me again.
So it was a warning shot rather than a full-on attack, wasn't it? It was like, you're in my territory. This is just a little taster of what could come if you don't play your cards right.
Through the telling of this story, do you imagine, you know, me, you know, wrestling with a giant Newfoundland or something like that, a Rottweiler?
That's not what I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking that this is probably, I don't know, like a little Yorkshire Terrier or something like that. That's a bit yappy.
I don't have footage of the attack itself because obviously I wasn't expecting it. I was ambushed. But I do have some footage of the culprit if you would like to see it.
So you're going to send me footage of this ferocious animal, are you?
Yeah, brace yourself. Here it comes.
Okay.
Right, I've sent it, so you should be able to see my tormentor, the bully of East Grinstead.
Yeah, it's just come through.
This humongous beast.
Yeah, it's like a rat, mate.
That's Monty.
That's the little that town sausage dog thing that you...
Yeah, I was...
Well, maybe it heard you wanted to fucking ride him. And he's fucking done... No way. And this little... Look at him. He's coming near me. He's got his shorts on like some... Like jodhpurs.
And, you think Monty listens to the podcast?
I reckon Monty's been listening. He's like, there's no way you're fucking riding me, you great big lummox.
So, yeah, I was bitten by a sausage dog called Monty.
Wow.
Would you like to see pictures of my injury?
Well, yes, because they don't sound horrific at all. Normally, I would say I don't want to see any pictures of injuries. But yes, let's have a... Oh, mate, come on.
There you go.
Say, when you say it drew blood.
It did. Look, you can see the blood around the knee.
Yeah.
And the slight bruising where the bottom tooth hit there.
What's going on with the hair around your knee, by the way?
I know, it's very strange, isn't it?
It's like you've got a massive... It's like a bald head in the middle of your leg. It's bizarre.
I know. The hair grows on my leg very strangely. I don't know what's going on.
Right, so I'm looking at so I'm looking at the injury.
That's a puncture wound right there.
I mean, there is a puncture wound. I'll give you that. And I'm not... it must be painful.
It's not really.
How long did it hurt for?
It never really did. But I thought...
Yeah.
I showed great, you know, self... restraint, because I let's be honest, I've got big size 13 steel cap boots on.
Yeah,
I could have drop kicked this thing over about 18 garden fences.
Why are you wearing steel toe boots as a postman?
In case anything falls on your foot.
Oh, because those letters are so heavy.
It's health and safety.
Well, if a bit of paper falls on my foot, I'm in real trouble. It's fucking Monty coming at me in a paper cup. So what did the owner say?
The owner, it was so quick, the owner didn't even know it had happened. So the only thing the owner told me after I'd been bitten was, oh, he won't bite you.
Did you point your knee? Well?
No, out of politeness, I just sort of went, oh, okay, and moved on to the neighbour.
Right.
And then I started affecting a bit of a limp. And
that's when the neighbour brought out the antiseptic wipe.
Yeah.
And erected the trauma tent to sort it out.
So now... I've got to keep going back to this place because, like I say, I can't get to their neighbour's house even. So I'm now thinking, what do? Do I just fling the post over the fence?
Because now it's got the taste of blood.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. And it will smell you coming. When you're about three houses away, it's going to start salivating and just getting red, probably sharpening its tooth on a bit of wood, just waiting for you next time because it didn't get enough of a chunk of flesh last time.
I told this story of my, what I'm thinking is basically heroism, to a mate of mine.
Heroism, yeah.
Back at the depot.
Yeah.
And he told me a much braver story where he was actually chased down the street by a bull mastiff. And he had to, and I'm not condoning this, and neither he's not condoning this either, but he basically had to kick it in the head.
Fucking hell.
To leave him alone.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a terrifying thing.
Yeah,
but do you know what, though? I mean, all joking aside, it's a good job that actually you are a dog lover, because if it was the wrong person, they could make a right old fuss and cause all kinds of hassle and ask for the dog to be put down or taken away. Do you know what I mean?
Well, my mum was quite insistent that I should tell the owner that it did nip me, because it could have been a child and it could hurt a child.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, she's got a point, but I don't really want to make a fuss because, it didn't hurt and it's just like... I don't want anything to happen to the dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a dog lover. Yeah. I don't like to see dogs hurt at all. But at what point is it okay to kick defend yourself and basically pump this thing over a fence?
Fucking hell, mate. I mean, Petter are going to be onto you before you know it.
I didn't touch it. I just want to know if it keeps happening.
But you're thinking about it. I mean, again, if I'm doing the admin for Heaven, I'm thinking, so, okay, let me talk to you, Mr. Harmer, about forgiveness. How are you forgiving the dog? I'm not. I'm just thinking of booting it over a fence. I think access denied, mate.
But I didn't touch him. I took
my... But you're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about future self-defence. Yeah, I'm not sure Monty gets to bite me every time I go in.
I don't think you can ever... There's no justification for... I mean, like I said, unless it's tearing your face off. But this thing's so small, that's not going to happen.
Okay, I see your point. I can't excessively defend myself.
No.
Which would include kicking this thing over a fence, which I could do with ease. You've seen the size of him. He's tiny. Can I swat him with the mail? Because I think swatting a dog, they won't understand. It'll probably just make them angrier.
I mean, I think start with... I mean, you've gone straight for a physical response. What about just a vocal response to start with? You know, like when you watch those dog programs, you know, My Bad Dogs or My Dog Won't Behave or The Dog Whisperer or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
And they always say, you know, if you do a sort of short, sharp noise, that puts the dog... sort of on a bit of a shocking system. So if you just go, oi! Oi! Do that.
I mean, I've got a job to do, mate. I can't spend time out of my day negotiating with a sausage dog.
I'm not asking you to negotiate. I mean, one little noise to start with. Just see how it goes.
I don't think a dog will understand that. I think it'll just think I'm barking back.
I've watched a lot of these programs. They often say, just, that's it, a little short, sharp... noise, just see what happens. But I think that's your first port of call.
Thing is, with all the, you know, invent of and the sort of widespread of Ring doorbells everywhere, there's going to be eventually some footage uploaded to YouTube of the mental postman who shrieks at the dog. I don't need that.
Small price to pay for getting along with your fellow animals on this planet.
But I've never threatened Monty. I've always got on with him. He's the one with the problem. He's the arsehole.
You fucking want to ride him.
I didn't know he'd hear that. So anyway, Trev, enough of my harrowing attack. How's your week been?
It's all right. So I've just been really pissed off this week.
Oh, why?
Just everything's pissing me off this week. You know, when you just, every day, just something little... And you say, oh, fuck off. So,
how little are we talking?
Well, I mean, one of them involves animals.
Oh, really?
I have been trying to get my lawn into a state where it could be actually called a lawn.
Okay.
So, about 2.5 weeks ago, I put down all this new grass seed. And some of it's coming through, but the majority of the seeds... I think the pigeons just thought, oh, that's nice. Trev's put out our three-course meal the day.
Did you not cover it in a small layer of topsoil?
Well, the instructions said not to do that.
Okay.
It said you sprinkle it, you put down some soil and some, it's not compost, but some, I forget what it's called, but I bought a bag of it, whatever it was.
Okay.
And then you put the seed down and you sort of trample the seed into it. So I did all of that, but it didn't
trample.
Seem to... Yeah, you walk over it and just sort
do
of...
Do you? I've not heard that before.
Well, that's what it said on the box. So
Listen, I hate to bring it all back to me again, being a postman, but I've had plenty of pissed off person say, please don't walk over the lawn, we've just seeded it.
Yeah.
Now, if that were true, what you've just said, then surely they'd be welcoming me to walk over their lawn.
Well, they've obviously not read the box properly.
I'll point that out next time someone runs out of their house and screaming at me.
Say, did you read the instructions? So anyway, I don't normally mind the birds. I don't have a problem with the birds. I know some people don't like pigeons. They're not proper, like, these are like wood pigeons. They're not the sort of feral Trafalgar Square pigeon. The mm-hmm. wood pigeon, I think, it's a different beast, don't you think?
I guess so. I don't know if this would work with birds. It certainly works with foxes, I think. You can get a device called like a mosquito, and when it detects motion, it emits a very high-pitched, annoying noise.
Right.
And that deters animals from being anywhere near it. I don't know if it would work with birds, though.
Why don't you tie that to your knee next time you go to the yard? Well, my mate said you can buy this tape, some sort of tape that flaps about and puts the birds off. But so I've been on, like, I've become such an old man. I've sort of been every sort of half hour going, looking out the window, see if the pigeons are there, and if they're there, going out and clapping at them to make them fly away. This is so much time I've had to invest in this fucking lawn.
Tell you what you need is an air rifle.
Again, you've gone straight to violence.
You could fire a warning shot. It doesn't need to be. Do you know what? To hit them.
This is the problem with video games. Just firing a gun is your go-to thing with any animal. Just shoot it.
Or you could buy a taxidermy finished pigeon.
Right, yeah.
And just leave it lying on the lawn.
As sort of a warning. This is what could happen
to you. Yeah, so you haven't killed anything.
Yeah.
But the other pigeons will come around and think, oh my God, what happened to him?
You'd need it to look a bit fucked up, though.
Well, you can fuck it up. It's already dead, remember?
Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't want it like a neatly stuffed pigeon that just looks like a pigeon. You'd want it sort of looking a bit like it's been through the ringer. So the other birds go, fucking hell, what's gone on there?
Of course, what you'll probably end up doing is attracting rats who'll start feasting on the corpse of the pigeon.
My uncle had a squirrel in his house this week.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't get it out. It got into one of their rooms, went under a cupboard or something, and he phoned the RSPCA, and they went, not really our thing.
What do you mean?
All we suggest is that you basically open all the doors and windows and turn the lights off. It'll go out in the end.
You know what he should have told them? He should have added in one key word which would have got them round straight away.
Yeah.
I have a wounded squirrel in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have been round like a shot.
So that's been pissing me off this week.
Right.
The other thing that's been pissing me off is it's one of those things about coming out of lockdown. It's reignited a real bugbear of mine, and that's the hooting down my road. I think so many people are het up and all this pent-up frustration of being locked down that they're just going mental with their car horns.
I wouldn't have thought that was a connection, but obviously it is. I mean, that's very strange. Oh, I mean, do you think it's pent-up anger or relief, like the hooting of relieved people who are free again?
Well, they don't sound relieved.
Of course, Freedom Day is, what, June the 21st at the moment? Very strange to call it Freedom Day.
Oh, some twat's calling it that. I don't think people are really... Some people are calling it that, but fuck off. I hate all that. That pisses me off. Freedom Day. That's like when Nigel Farage said Independence Day was when we left the European Union. Piss off.
Well, I think it's actually quite dangerous because surely everyone's going to think, oh, it's Freedom Day. That means we're free to do whatever the hell we want, and to hell with the safety precautions. It's Freedom Day.
Yeah.
And everyone's just going to go nuts.
Well, they're already going nuts anyway.
I think that I'm in the minority of people who are still paying any attention to the lockdown rules at all.
I got on a bus for the first time yesterday in months. And they make it very clear about wearing your mask. And I know that there are people who are exempt. But honestly, the number of people on that bus who were made to put one on by the driver, to be fair, the driver was very good. But I just thought, come on, people. What is wrong with you? Put the fucking mask on before you get on the bus. It's a small thing to do. Put your fucking mask on, you tit.
Did they have all the windows open?
I think some of the windows were open, yeah.
I would have thought it had been all of them.
Possibly. I didn't really notice. The one nearest to where I was sitting was definitely open.
So you've been annoyed by the birds. You've been annoyed by the
hooting
on the bus.
Excessive hooting.
And the hooting.
And I'm sure they're getting louder. I'm sure the hooting's getting louder as well.
Well, that's not possible.
It is possible.
But no, because that means you're conspiring that people have had their car horns amplified
in this
lockdown period.
And they're holding it down for longer. That's another thing that's definitely I've noticed. And what I've noticed yesterday, and it's become a Pavlovian response.
Oh, yeah.
Where if I hear a horn, I just go, shut the fuck up. And I was out the front of the house yesterday, and I was talking to my mum. and someone hooted. I said, "Oh, shut the fuck up!" And I said, "Who is that person hooting at?" There is nobody for that person to be hooting at. There's no one coming in the opposite direction. There's no one on the pavements for them to say hello to, which I don't agree with anyway, but that's not happening. And I just think people are just hooting for the hell of it. Just fucking shut up.
Can I ask you a question? Because I thought of you the other week because I was driving through East Grinstead and I saw a colleague.
Yeah.
And I gave them a little double honk hello.
Yeah.
They waved back. It was all very nice.
Yeah.
And I felt then a pang of shame because I thought, Trev would be judging me right now.
Oh, I would be. Now, I really would be.
If
I'd be calling you a moron at the very least.
So now, here's the question. If I was to be driving through your area and I saw you on the street and I gave you a little honk honk and you look over your shoulder and, oh, it's Ben. Hello, Ben. Mm. Or would you think, well, that's nice that he's honked me to say hello, but you're a fucking dick.
Well, the truth is, I probably wouldn't respond to it because I would just assume it's just another prick hooting for no reason. So I wouldn't respond. It's like the other day, right? Because my road is... Because the other thing that really fucks me off is... I'm full on rant now.
You are.
Full on fucking rant. Not just the hooting, but people who are totally incapable of doing anything quietly. Like, absolutely nothing they can do quietly. I have people walk down my road. Now, but I've got double glazing. All right, it's old, but I shouldn't be able to hear you. If you're on the other side of the road, I shouldn't be able to hear you talking on your phone or talking to the person next to you. I should not be able to hear that. How loud do you need to be? Because if that person standing next to you needs you to be talking that loud, they need to get their fucking hearing tested.
Yes.
It drives me insane. Why can't people do things quietly? I've always hated noise.
Okay. You're getting very intolerant in your old age.
I am becoming very intolerant. Anything that's noise. Because the other thing that's pissing me off at the moment...
Sorry, I just... You know you're getting old when you're running out of your house to clap at the pigeons, mate. That's pretty bad.
I know. I'm getting old and I'm getting very grumpy. Because the other thing that's pissing me off at the moment is opposite me, they've got some, I think there's an extension being built. That's fine. Don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem, again, noise. Now, I'm sure there are rules about the sort of time that they can start making a racket. But they don't seem to be following any of that. Like 7:30 the other morning, some fucking drill or some things going. And it's like, what are you, who are you, even this morning, we're recording this on bank holiday. It's bank holiday Monday, 7:55 this morning, some fucking motorised din going on across the road. And I felt like opening the window going, don't you know it's a bank holiday? What the fuck are you doing?
Well, this is going to probably wind you up as well, but at my place of work, there is a rule that you mustn't disturb people or knock on their doors or ring their doorbells before a certain time in the morning.
Right, yeah.
What is going to annoy you is the time they've set is 7 a.m.
So, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous time to be ringing on people's doorbells.
Well, in my defense, you ordered the parcel. I'm bringing it to you.
Yes.
Here it is. If you hadn't ordered it, I wouldn't be on your doorstep at 7 a.m.
Yeah, but 7 a.m.
It is early, isn't it?
I mean, that's ludicrous. 8 o'clock, I think, is that should be the earliest time that anyone can make any noise. One last thing that's been pissing me off.
Go on.
And I'll be interested in your views on this now.
Is it how the police are getting younger and younger?
It's the person who lives opposite me who has managed to get hold of some cones and puts them out to reserve his parking space. Because he's been getting more and more irate about it. No, I can't park outside my house. And I just think, you fucking prick. Like, the rest of us have to park in the other roads. Like, we don't worry about it. You're just selfish prick.
I'm assuming he doesn't have a driveway to park his car on.
It doesn't have a driveway, no.
Okay, so in that case, I think it's tough luck. And I think you are well within your rights to move the cones and park there.
I mean, I wouldn't get involved with this bloke because he kicks off at the slightest thing.
I wouldn't recommend you park your own car there because you're then leaving your car open to abuse criminal damage. So I wouldn't do that with your own car. But under the cloak of night, I would definitely go and nick his cones.
It's people leave their bins out as well, don't they? Put their bins out to reserve their parking space. You know, who do you think you are? Who, you're fucking queen or something? Like, the rest of us have to park wherever we can find a fucking parking space.
I get it. I get the annoyance that you can't park outside your own house. But if it's a private road, that's just tough shit.
Yeah, you don't have a God-given right to be able to park outside your house, as lovely as that is. I get annoyed if I can't park outside my house, but I accept that I don't have a God-given right to park there. I don't go and get myself some cones or leave the bins out.
So the problem is, though, is you're not going to do anything about this. You're just going to seethe about this.
Yeah.
Do something about it. Go and move those cones.
Well, he's fucking terrifying, mate. I'm not kidding. Are you a regular watcher of the news, Ben? Do you make a point of watching one news bulletin a day or something?
I listen to a lot of radio when I'm doing my job. So, yes, I don't necessarily watch it, but I hear more than I should. More than I think's healthy, actually, because I think it can put you in quite a bad mood, a day of news.
Oh, God, yeah. It's very depressing that. I think you do have to... I limit myself now. I went through a stage of having Sky News on or talk radio and listening to all the news all day, and you think, this is fucking depressing. But what I like about watching the news is, particularly live news, is when things go tits up, when things go wrong. And I don't know if you saw this week, this was so the story this week was that I think he was the first man in the UK to get the COVID vaccine. Sadly passed away this week, not from COVID, from something else. He was in his 80s.
Oh, dear.
But his name was William Shakespeare.
Really?
Yes.
There's a nice bit of a trivia. The first person to be vaccinated was William Shakespeare.
Yes, yeah. Now, the woman on a news channel in Argentina went on to report this story and announced to the nation of Argentina that one of the most important writers in the English language...
Oh, shut up.
She said...
She said,
for me, the master has died.
Oh, come on. She was joking, right?
No, she genuinely thought that William Shakespeare, the playwright, was still alive.
Oh, for fuck's sake. He's been dead about 400 years.
I know.
Oh...
It's absolutely unbelievable. But how many people, perhaps in Argentina, who were young people? She was 26, this newsreader. That's not
an excuse.
I don't
care. No.
But imagine like young people going, fuck, did you? Oh, shit. We've been studying Romeo and Juliet in school. Bloody hell. The writer's just died. Unbelievable.
Oh, we're never going to get a sequel now.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things. I mean, do you remember that thing a few years ago? I think this just had a 10-year anniversary or 15-year anniversary when that guy turned up at the BBC to be interviewed for a job in IT.
Was his name Guy Gomer?
Guy Gomer.
Yes, I remember him very well.
And he was suddenly ushered into the news studio to do some interview about, was it Apple Music or something?
Something like that.
And, I mean, his face when he realises... But he tries to answer. I mean, that was the best thing about it. He just thought, fuck it, I'll go for this. And he became a bit of an overnight sensation, didn't he?
I don't even think they gave him the job, which I thought was particularly cruel.
Oh, really?
He's shown himself to be a team player.
Yeah, I would have given him the job straight away, even if he wasn't qualified for it. He'd go, give it a go, mate.
I'm beginning to think that you and I should... leave the UK, head to Argentina, because if that's the calibre of broadcaster thereafter, we'll look halfway competent.
Yeah. Now, do you remember a couple of weeks back, we were talking, I don't know what we were talking about, but I mentioned an outtake of a news reporter who had said that they were really pissed off at the end of their report.
Yes, I do, vaguely, yeah.
Well, I found the clip.
Oh, good.
So this was a guy called Colin Baker. Now, just in case the woman from Argentina is listening, this isn't the man who played Doctor Who. That was a different Colin Baker. Right?
So, thanks for clarifying.
This was Colin Baker, who was a news reporter on Thames Television back in the 90s or 80s. And this was at the end of one of his reports.
The man himself is adamant that he doesn't want to be identified. And even his fellow inmates at Wormwood Scrubs, those who he's speaking on behalf of, won't be told his identity. Colin Baker for Thames News, Westminster. Soaked with cold feet and an aching heart, married, several children, pissed off, really dreadfully pissed off.
I love that guy.
Just incredible.
Ultimate respect for that.
They wouldn't have, obviously, for a news report, would have edited that bit out, but I'd just keep it in. I think they should keep anything like that in these days. Just bleep out any swearing, but let us see the true goings on behind the facade of television.
Definitely.
So this took me on a bit of a YouTube rabbit hole, and I've got some other bits from news reports. Now, the Vox Pop is the kind of go-to thing for a news report, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And you go and find an eyewitness or somebody to talk to about something that's happening. So I've got a few of my favourites here.
Okay.
This is a woman who I couldn't quite get to the bottom of what happened, but I think she'd been in a block of flats that had caught fire. But her eyewitness account is just superb. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire, not today.
That's amazing. I love the observation that it was cold outside. Yeah. Well, I suppose coming from a fire, it would be, wouldn't it?
I love a bit of the end.
Not today.
Right, next one I've got for you. Now, this is a woman who was... she's called Flossie.
Okay.
And she was being interviewed because it was her 110th birthday.
Oh.
And this news reporter had been sent out. Now, this woman clearly doesn't want to be interviewed. She's not happy that she's 110. And, yeah, she's pretty grumpy, huh, Alison?
Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
You sound like a very busy lady. Yes.
She can't even be bothered to answer that question.
I think good on Flossie. That was such a sarcastic question. The contempt she deserves. Treat her with it. Perfect. The sarcastic bitch.
The interview goes on.
Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
What would you rather? You would rather be taking a nap, huh?
Not answering that one either. She's like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm 110. All my friends are dead. I'm in a home. I don't care.
I think you seem to be aspiring to be Flossie.
I'm not aspiring. Game. I'm there. That's basically what I've got to. So leave me alone. Don't ask me stupid fucking questions. Get out of my face.
I love it.
Now, this is a man. Obviously, there was some big prize up for grabs on some lottery in America. So there was a news reporter sent out to talk to people buying tickets to win the lottery.
That's what you do, because people can't understand the concept of the story unless you take a camera there to show it happening, obviously.
And this man was very honest about what he'd do if he won.
Can I ask you, if you won all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay, that's not good.
God bless that man.
I mean, we're all thinking it. Most people are saying, well, I'd make sure my family's secure. Whereas inside you're thinking, yep, cocaine and hookers.
Hookers and blow all the way.
I got one more to play. This was fantastic. This is just one of my favourite things. So this is in Britain, not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago. A news reporter was sent to Bolton, where the Indian variant of the COVID virus was beginning to take hold. So, of course, they spoke to some of the residents of Bolton to see if, you know, how they were feeling about it. So they were in the middle of the town centre and they spoke to one woman. Her response is, well, it's priceless.
Really worried. I won't even leave the house.
Sorry. It took a minute for the penny to drop there. Oh, stupid woman.
So there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, a couple of recommendations for you. What have you been watching or listening to this week?
I've recently started listening to a podcast which I think is only available on the BBC Sounds app. It's called The Lazarus Heist, and it's basically all about a film Seth Rogen was going to release, which was called The Interview, in which it depicts the assassination of Kim Jong-un.
Oh yes, now this was it caused quite a stir, this film, didn't it?
Yeah, it caused a real stir, and basically the backlash from, well, at this point I'm only two episodes in, so it's not entirely clear if the backlash was North Korea. Possibly a theory says it was Russia, but the attack that happened to Sony on their computer systems, their staff, it's so interesting and a really, really good listen. So anyone who's looking for a decent podcast that isn't ours, BBC Sounds, The Lazarus Heist, very good.
Okay, well, I've been listening to another podcast again on the BBC Sounds app or website, if you can get it. And it's won quite a lot of awards in the last couple of weeks, which is what led me to it. Now, what I will tell you is it's a very serious subject that's being discussed, and it's not an easy listen, but it's just fascinating. So it's called Where is George Gibney? And it's tracking down a swimming coach who has been accused of, well, some of the worst crimes that you can imagine.
Okay.
But it's fascinating. I listened to the first one, and I'd seen it won a lot of awards, so I thought, well, this is going to be good. And I thought, am I going to really stick with this? It's quite a horrible topic that's being discussed, but it is compelling. They're tracking him down because he's never really been brought to justice, and I got through six episodes in 2 days.
Oh wow.
I just wanted to find out what was happening next. I think I've only got two episodes left to go. Like I say, it's not going to be for everyone. It's not an easy listen at times, but it is absolutely fascinating.
Nice. Well, I think I will add that to my listen list.
So there we are. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.